Thomas, AP News. Thanks for listening.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Let's find out together on Teletestania.
If only Brittany could get my little intro together. Brittany, you got the outro and the intro, the intro and the outro. I need a theme song, Brittany. Thank you. Pleasant, good afternoon. Stanley Davis here. That's right. I am she and she is me. I am Teletestania. And it's another Saturday. Another Saturday, and we talking about all kind of things. Now, if y'all are anything like me, and I say this every week, but I have to say it again, like, it's almost as though you live about 10 different lifetimes in 7 days. You know what I'm talking about? It's like so many things happen, so much things happen. And so, just thank God that you're here. So, today, I have two guests who are going to be joining me. One is already here. And the others, they like family. I'll explain why. All the business coming out then. But in studio, I have Heather McDonald. Now, let me tell you all something. There go Heather. Heather is one of my students, my life coaching students. Yes, she did the certification with me. Eve's Journey Life Coaching certification, by the way. I think we are like maybe about 28 in counting. And from Heather was there, honestly, I always knew that she was a great woman. Well, listen, all of my coaches, because I want nobody come calling me talking about, oh, look how you love up Heather, and you ain't say that. All of the women and men, because there are a few men who came through who became certified as a life coach as well. But I always knew that Heather was someone special, someone different, someone with a gift. I always knew that she would do well. And I remember telling her, boy, Heather, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in 5 years or 10 years. Heather, you remember when I used to tell you that?
Yes, you did say that.
Yes. And I'm still looking forward to what she's going to do in the years to come. Because I think maybe but 5 years done passed by now, eh?
Definitely.
Oh, years old. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. But she's always doing something and I'm very proud of her. And I respect her a whole lot. I always tell people too, like the women who pass through, they are phenomenal. They're great at what they do. Better than me in some areas, in the areas where they're supposed to be, just as I am in the other areas where I'm supposed to be as well. But they are amazing. They could run 10 circles around me, trust me. All right.
10.
But 3A.
You know, it's like Stanya always says, she said, be the youiest you can be.
That's right.
That's so cute. You always said that during the classes that we had.
But I feel like y'all used to have too much fun. I feel like y'all was enjoying them.
Well, it was the sessions. My cohort was, yes.
You had a good time.
Yes, I did. It was a wonderful experience. We cried, we laughed, we cried a lot.
Yes.
And then you shouted at us. And then it
what?
Was, yes, you told us off. You told us about ourselves, but it was a good telling
what?
Off.
What?
Because sometimes you just need somebody just to tell you, listen.
What is this?
You're making a fool of yourself and you're lying to yourself and you're being delusional. And sometimes you need that good wake-up call to get you on the path. And that's why your life coaching sessions is some of the best that I ever been in. Because I've been to some internationally afterwards and I was like, you know, I'm not Stanya.
Now, see, you know, the show ain't about Stanya, but let me do my shameless plug. Most of my students tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And clients. And students and clients are two different things, okay? Students are people who would have trained with me. And, of course, I offer the certification for persons who want to help other people heal, who want to do exactly what I do. And like I said, they are phenomenal. But, yeah, I get that a lot. Even ones who have been to even, I won't call the name, but a popular one. They always say, yeah, or they say, you know what? I know more than this, and this. Or we already did this, or they didn't show us.
Yeah, the problem is when you go to those ones, you have about thousands of people. Like
yeah.
I'm not going to call the U.S. because
yeah.
I'm very good friends with, to the core coordinators. Uh-huh. It was a great experience. However, when you go to one of those coaching sessions, I always like to tell people, if more than 12 people sign up, don't go.
Right.
Because you're not going to get what you need out of it. You're going to network, yes. You're going to get the networking. You're going to learn. You're going to find out a lot of good tools.
Right.
But when it comes to dealing with you, and one thing I loved about you, what you always said, is that you can't coach nobody until you deal with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do the work first before you could work along with anyone else. And those other organizations, they just teach you how to do the work.
Right.
But then after you leave, you basically leave those institutions and you leave them with all your baggage. You leave them with all your trauma. And now you want to go tell people how to live and how to do this and how to do that. And you're so broken yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when I start again, because I haven't done certification since, well, of course, with mommy being ill, I just didn't have it to give. But I'm getting ready to do it. Oh, I don't know what happened if I'm still on air. I don't know what happened. It seems as though something cut off or whatever. Dwight, I know you're listening. Could you let me know if I'm still live? I don't know what happened. But it sounds as though I'm not quite sure if I'm still on. Is Brittany in there?
There's a gentleman who came in. There's a lady who just walked in.
Hi, is the producer there? Well, we're going to just keep going because the show must go on.
Okay, Brittany's back.
Okay. Brittany, am I on? Because I can't hear anything. Okay. All right. I don't know on my end. I can't hear anything. But anyway, such is life. Let's just... We have no sound in here. Okay. All right. So anyway, we're going to jump into it. Now, Heather, of course, is going to be one of the speakers. Or I don't want to say speakers. I'm going to call it a life teacher because it's life classes. So the All I Want for Christmas program that I'm offering starting next week, she's going to be one of the life teachers who will be facilitating the session. So today we're going to talk about, what are we talking about, Heather? Because I was talking about mind games, but you done shut me down with that.
Yes, because I want them to actually I want them to sign up for the program so they can find out about stop playing the mind games.
Okay.
You know, we can't give that out for free.
No. Listen. In the words of someone who I know who related to someone who's sitting out there, free things cost you more.
Yes.
Okay, then.
You know.
All right, then. So let's go. What are we talking about today?
So we're talking about no more breaking the New Year's resolutions, because this is something that we are all guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
It's November 20. What it is? The 20 what? The 20 something.
Yeah.
It's 24th. 23rd or 24th. And this is the time when you start looking back at the things that you planned that you wanted to do for the new year, and you start to get depressed.
Because mm-hmm.
you said, I said I was going to do this. I said I was going to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was going to go to the gym. I said I was going to get out of this toxic relationship.
Right.
I said I was going to go back to college and get my education or advance myself. And you notice when November, early December, the best month of the year, because that's my birthday.
Wait, when is your birthday? It was November 3rd.
I know something wonderful about you.
That's right. The theory. Go on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you come and you're now reevaluating your year. This is when you're doing those checks and balances. What did I do? Was I really as effective as I thought this year? And, you know, when I was driving here, they were talking about it on the show before.
Right.
We like to call it coffin season, when you find a man who lives snuggly and you can snuggle up to him. But this is also a time where people is getting very colder. Persons are staying more indoor. And you're reflecting back on the year.
Okay.
And you're saying, was I effective? Did I accomplish the things that I said I was going to do? And I want to tell everyone who's listening, at the sound of my voice, you know how they say at the church, at the sound of my voice.
Yes.
I'm telling you guys, it's okay. You might have not accomplished everything.
Right.
Or you might have not accomplished anything. But guess what? There's still a tomorrow.
Right. Like every day is a new day. Literally.
Every day is a new day. And as well as there's still today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the day is not over as yet. So what you haven't started as yet,
mm-hmm.
you could just begin the process. Because I don't like to do New Year's resolutions. I don't. I like to work on 3-year plans.
Okay.
And I put them in phases. Because life happens. You know, I lost my mom last year. I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
You know, and that came as a blow.
Right.
So a lot of times things happen. You may say you want to start a business, and next thing you know, your car breaks down. Now you don't have a car.
Well, let me ask you this, Heather.
So
Why do you think most people don't accomplish their, well, we're calling it resolutions, but their goals? Why do you think people, like, what stops them? Because, you know, you're someone who, you always on the go, like, you always doing something. But why do you think we don't do this or people don't do that?
That's the problem. You're the problem. You are the problem. A lot of times we like to point fingers at different people.
Right.
This person's the problem. That's the problem. Address yourself first.
Right.
You only could control what you could do for yourself. You can't control how people respond to you. Mm-hmm. You can't control whether or not you're going to get that job offer.
Right.
You can't control whether or not you're back.
Right.
You can't control those things, but you know what you could do? You could control what you decide to do, mm-hmm. and you could control how you respond to those negative things. So you're the problem. And I know a lot of people just be like, oh, here she goes again. She just want to put it on the women them or blame it on me. You have to do self-reflection. I do self-reflection all the time. There's mm-hmm. nothing that I failed at that I put the blame on anybody else.
Right.
I look at it and I said, okay, God, what is it that I need to learn from this situation?
Or, you know, what role did I play in this? How did I contribute to the dis-ease in my life? Like, what did I mm-hmm. do? And I don't think we do that because I think it's comfortable for us to kind of say, okay, look what this person did or what have you. But then if you're saying that this person is responsible for your failure, that means that you're also saying that they are responsible for your success.
Most definitely. And a lot of times, we get in our own way. We're our own biggest critics.
Right.
We're the voice in our own ears telling us that, you know what, maybe I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not smart enough. You know, maybe I'm not pretty enough.
Right.
Maybe I'm just not ready. If I just make that bonus, I could start my own business. If I just wait until I get this thing, I'll start it.
Right.
You know, we always put limitations on ourselves. And that, if I just, is the thing that is stopping us from accomplishing any goal that we have. I always like to tell people, and I think when you invite me back to speak to your other cohort, the last cohort during the pandemic, I said, mm-hmm. listen, focus on small wins.
Right.
Forget about the big things. And I got that from my personal trainer. Shout out to him. Awesome, awesome guy. And but one thing he told me, say, have the focus on small wins.
Right.
You know, because I have a problem. I have endometriosis, which causes my weight to be up and down.
Right.
If I don't work out, you can tell when I don't work out because I'm going to put on a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when I do work out,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
weight will drop.
Yes.
So
easy.
It causes a lot my weight gain to be up and down and a while.
Right.
And he was like, I had to just focus on the small wins.
So
focus
okay.
on the small wins, what you could achieve and what you have achieved, because it wasn't easy for you to do that little small win.
Well, let me ask you, and I'm asking these little crazy, now I won't call them crazy questions, but I'm trying to make it really like very, very real for people because I think there's a complexity to the simplicity of life, or the simplicity to the complexity of life. Meaning, so in other words, like what would be a small win? Let's say, thinking about the weight goals, and let's say we say, okay, boy, I didn't even lose. You know, I didn't lose that 15 pounds that I said I wanted to lose. So what would a small win look like?
Showing up. As simple as showing up.
Okay.
That's a small win because
right.
guess what? A lot of times I love to work out early in the mornings. I'm a 5:30 in the morning person. I wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning to pray. I don't, once you see 10 o'clock up, I'm working out. I can tell you that right now because after that, I have clients calling me. I have meetings set up. You know how to stand here when you're trying
yeah.
to get me. You know, and I'm not going to be done until 9, 10 o'clock in the night because a lot of times we say we want these success, but you have to understand the most successful people, their mornings start off at the crack of dawn and then after sunset.
I was just about to say, like, most people...
We utilize the whole
I'm
day.
I'm telling you, like, I have a cousin. Hi, Richard Presenti. Hello.
That's my former boss. Hi, Richard.
Oh, for true?
Yes. I love Richard. She's
yes.
a wonderful person.
Yes, yes.
Amazing attorney.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Yes. And that's my cousin. Hello. Anyway. Yeah, so listen. The only time I could reach Richard, first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have early morning conversations. Even if I have a question, Stanley, you need to message me in the morning. That's when we talk. Candy, who just called. Hi, Candy Gibson. We always talk. First thing in the morning. Most people who have things to do, most people who are accomplishing things, they get up early.
Early in the morning. And we, like I said, we utilize the whole day.
Yes.
A lot of times, I already did three things before I came here.
Right.
You know, before I came to this,
what
and I have two
doing?
More. I have two more things to do after this. You know, you utilize the whole day.
Yeah.
You take advantage of the whole day, and that's another thing. When you're trying to accomplish a goal, when you see it's 2-3 o'clock, you be like, okay, I can't do it. The day is gone. Who tell you you can't do it? You can do something.
Right.
You could do something, even if you sit down and you plan what you're going to do tomorrow to make that thing happen. That is something. That's a small win. Showing up to a fitness workout, putting your tennis on and actually showing up. Even if, I remember I went to workout with this lady, right? And, well, she was a part of the workout crew and she was really, really obese. And she just showed up and she sat down in the class. And I was like, I get it.
Right.
I looked at her and I said, I get it. And I saw for 3 days straight, she just showed up and she'd sit in the back of the class. And I love the fact that the instructor gave her room and didn't say anything. They just, she sat down on the little step, workout steps thing. And on the fourth day, though, she got up and she did something. And every day she did a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But it started with her showing up. Showing up is a win, because when that alarm go off, you don't have to get out your bed. You could, how many times you click snooze when you know you wanted to get up and walk?
Right.
Or you wanted to go to the gym, or you wanted to go to that fitness CrossFit class. I know. I put snooze alarm on so much. The only reason I'm not working out right now, because now I have morning briefings at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Right, right.
You know, so it makes
powerful.
It
powerful. I mean, I like that what you said with it, lady, because for starters, it takes a whole lot just to show up.
Just to show up.
Just to show up takes a whole lot.
Especially if your body isn't the way it was. Well, I like to tell you a story. Story time, you know. I like to do story time.
Okay, let me hear
I remember when I was sexy and I had my sexy, but I fought. I fought and sexy, y'all. I trying to work out on
and
it,
cute,
you know.
Too, though.
And I cute, you
yeah,
know.
Man.
But the thing is, when I first decided that I was going to go back to work out, you know, because I put, and this was recently, this was this year, I put on weight. I had a miscarriage, you know, so the weight was there. And I had surgery along with the miscarriage. So it was, you know, if you get cut and you have surgery, it's very hard for your muscles to heal and get back. I would literally just show up and I'd just go on the treadmill and walk. I would just go on the treadmill and walk.
Just take your time.
And I take my, and take your time. Because I felt so uncomfortable and self-conscious going in the gym, because I was like, my gym clothes don't even fit me the way it fit me anymore.
Right.
You know, everything is falling out on the sides. Your boobage coming from out under your arm. You know, your pants, your yoga pants, but used to come up under your boobs, rolling down over your belly. Like all of these things that you get self-conscious, and then you walk in the gym and all them fine men in there.
Listen.
You know, all of them. And I go to the gym in the morning. That's
listen,
when the finest men show up to go work out.
I say, Heather.
You know, so,
listen, body for days and
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So you're so self-conscious. But it's going to take a while for you to get past that.
Right.
But it's okay. It's okay to have your little rolls in the gym, because guess what? The rolls ain't going to be there too long.
So, okay. So one of the reasons why we don't also, like, but let me don't say accomplish, why we abandon our resolutions is because we focus on, like, the big picture instead of
the big picture.
The small wins.
That, yeah, because we make it so unattainable.
Right.
You know, we like to psych ourselves up and then we say, you know what? And that's what I got back to saying, that if I just do this, I'll be able to conquer everything. You're not going to knock it out. You're not going to knock it out of the park one shot. You are not Babe Ruth, okay? You're not going to get that home run right away.
Right.
So just do something. So it's the people you allow to be around you. I know sometimes we have this bad thing saying in Bohemian, we say, you know what, don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing. Don't tell people. Sometimes that don't work, because if I don't tell nobody, I don't have nobody to keep me accountable.
Right.
But at the same time, if I choose to tell the wrong person, they either could get my head and cause me to have doubts, or they'll make me feel bad about myself.
Right.
You know, so, or they want to enable me with my bad eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I on a diet and I working out. Why are you telling me, say, let's go to Bamboo Shack? I just tell you I on a diet and I'm working out, and I tell you how wonderful my diet is going, and it's going so great. And you giving me a ride and you pulling up the Bamboo Shack line.
Right.
Of course I'm going to order a cold snack.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm
indeed.
Not delivered yet.
No, I had cold snack.
You know, and these are the things. So you have to be careful. If you know you have that wonderful friend who likes to go to Bamboo Shack, stop catching ride with them after work.
Right. Because, you know, I was watching a movie. Not a movie, but some series on Netflix. And one of the things with this boxer guy or whatever, and he was trying to win this championship, whatever. And someone in his circle was like sabotaging him straight through. Mm-hmm. Straight through. And normally, or sometimes, it's the people who want to keep you in that comfort zone. So sometimes you really got to get outside then. Maybe what about Heather, if you want to be around persons who maybe have the same goals.
Right.
Or the same, like you're heading towards.
And some of these boyfriends is too. Let's talk about these husbands and these boyfriends.
Hold on
because
now.
They know you're trying to make yourself better. Uh-huh. Get your body snatched. It ain't that they want you to be snatched, no. It's just that they like to use food as a way to apologize. So whenever they do wrong, they always like to come around and say, you hungry? You want something
to
eat?
Yeah, but that's most our weakness, though.
Exactly. Because they know, like, I'm not going to say no to sushi.
Right.
No, I'm not going to say no to a crack lobster. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
You know, so men are a form of apology. It don't necessarily need to be that crack lobster dinner.
Right.
That is delicious from that place where you know, find another way. Go to John Bull. Get her a bottle of perfume. She like that. Go buy her some Remy for Nicole's. Get her a Nicole's gift certificate. Trust me, get me a Nicole's gift certificate. I know my hair is naturally long, but sometimes I want a little extra.
I want a little extra. Heather, your hair is on your back.
Though. Yeah, but sometimes I want it longer. And then you know, that gift certificate, I could buy makeup.
That's true.
You know, I could buy other... Mm-hmm. Feminine products.
Or hair products.
You know, get her one gift certificate someplace. Mm-hmm. You know, send her to the movies. You don't have to get her that, you know, Thai snack with fish and corn combination. You don't have to do that. Find other ways and to support their goals. But to your effect, why we abandon our goals is other than being realistic, we try to be too perfect. A lot of us, where we start the process, and that's great, but we're too hard on ourselves and we're perfectionists because we say, this time I want to do it right.
Right.
I want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we even make mistakes even when, as your goal may be that I want to have a better relationship with my mom.
Right.
I want to have a better relationship with my partner.
Right.
And in doing that, you're so perfect that you annoy the person that you're trying to rebuild this bridge with.
Right.
You know, because you're just too perfect and then you come off as annoying or you come off as obsessive.
Mm.
So you have to try that as you make these various goals that you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
You just got to try.
Yeah. I don't know. Where do you think that comes from? Like that need for us to have everything in place?
Movies. Blame movies.
The media.
I blame Lifetime. I blame Hallmark movies, which I'm going to binge watch them because, you know,
right. This
is a Christmas time. But a lot of times we want to live our life like it's a movie.
Right.
We want to experience that happily ever after. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to experience that. They want to be the lead actress or actor in their move in their own life.
Wow.
But,
yeah.
And in the process of that, we want to always seem like we have it together and that we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But life is not scripted.
No, it really is unscripted.
It's unscripted. It's full of horrible experiences, ups and downs. And to be honest, you have more bad days than good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That may just be the season you're going through because you may be in that season of that you need to change yourself. I always like to tell people, if you feel like everything's going wrong, you got this entire year, you lost your job, your man or your girlfriend leave you, your mommy done mad at you, your car break down, you get evicted from your apartment.
Right.
It's like, why all these things keep happening to me?
Right.
Sometimes you may be just going through a year of the cleansing.
Right.
I also like to tell people, be careful when you go to God and pray.
Right.
You may say, God, I want you to do a new thing in my life. And that message goes to God, you want a new thing? Oh, we give you a new thing now. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to ask this. So God, take you off that job you don't supposed to be on.
Right.
And the next job that he actually have you to be on is on its way, but he's not preparing you for that experience to get that job.
Right.
Because God is not going to take you into a place where you need to be before you fix the things, before you get a line for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going through I like to call it the shedding process. Like, you know, like how reptilians, that's the right word, right?
Yes, yes.
Reptilians, when they're about to grow and they're about to expand, they have to shed their skin.
Okay, that's a powerful thing. Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we will be right back.
join me, Alexis Burrows, for Vital Voices, the weekly radio show and podcast tackling the nation's most pressing health and wellness topics. From healthcare equity to proactive wellness, Vital Voices empowers you with tools and knowledge to improve your life and community. Tune in every Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio and catch full episodes on YouTube every Monday. Don't miss these crucial conversations with experts, providers, and industry leaders, because your health matters.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and then job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Building, telephone 30261.
It turns out that there's more than one special gift to give that special someone this Christmas. Consumers are searching for the perfect presents and the right prices. So what better way than to place your products or services in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide? This year's Christmas shoppers will be sure to find that special something for everyone on their list. For an all-inclusive price, you can have your ads published twice in December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide, in addition to 10, 15, and 30-second commercials, and not to mention a web ad on the Nassau Guardian's website. Advertising deadline is November 29th, remember. For more information, contact your sales agents or call the Nassau Guardian Advertising Department at 302-2300. That's 302-2300, and ask about our Holiday Gift Guide Media Bundle. You won't want to miss this opportunity. Ring in those holiday profits by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian Holiday Gift Guide.
Are you uninsured and seeking a plan that can give you quality health care at discounted rates? Unlock affordable health care with Doctors Hospital's LAMP. Enjoy unlimited primary care visits, exclusive discounts of up to 20%, and complimentary imaging and nutrition services. Visit doctorshosp.com/LAMP to register. Comprehensive, cost-effective wellness starts with LAMP.
We're back from the commercial break. Okay, I don't even know what to call it. Anyway, that's what we are. We're back. And I have my other guests in studio, and I will introduce them in just a few minutes, but I want to wrap it up with Heather first. So Heather, tell us one more thing about us accomplishing our goals. What also holds us back? Oh.
Well, another thing that holds us back is we don't know when to say no. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. You know you have an agenda. You know you sat down and you said, you know what? I want to do this. I plan to do this. I plan to start a business.
Right.
But then other persons like to put their dreams and visions on you.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say some things that may offend some pastors, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love them. You mm-hmm. know, I love the pastors in the church and I love the Lord. However, mm-hmm. and I don't know
out.
Who needs to hear this today.
Watch
go to church again.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to hear this today, but the church's mission belongs to the pastor. Yes, all of us have to do the work of the Lord. All of us have to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow a church to stop your purpose. There's a lot of persons that are manipulated by some of these pastors that stops them from achieving their goals because they like to use the guilt. Well, you're in the church on Sunday. You have this business. God bless you with this business. God bless you with that book. God bless you with that NGO. And you're spending all your time doing that and not spending enough time in church. I'm going to tell you, your job is your ministry. Your business is your ministry. The NGO is your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be guilted by these persons who are your spiritual advisors, like Rodney Moncaw may say, to stop you from doing it. Sometimes you got to tell them no. I was a part of this church. I thank you for the season and the growth that I had
right.
in here. But God has a purpose on my life. Because last time I checked, he said before I was in my mother's womb, he formed me, and only I was in that womb. Right. I wasn't born a twin. Well, I was born by myself.
I don't know if people are ready for that conversation.
But it's true. You have to learn how to tell people now. No. Uh-huh. You have an agenda.
Right.
That you, and you have deliverables you need to meet. Because if you want your job, all of us to work for the man one time ago. And when the man tell you, say, these are the deliverables you need to meet, by the time you meet them, either you're getting fired or you're getting cut.
Right.
So you want to make sure you meet those deliverables, right?
Right.
So when you put those deliverables on yourself and you said, okay, this is what I want to do for the next 6 months. When persons are making you offers and pulling you out and saying, I need you to go speak to this place.
Right.
I need you to minister to this place. And I'm a multi-talented person. I could speak for this because I was a minister in my church. I lived this.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell them, I'm so sorry. I am not able to do it.
Right.
Because God have me on this journey. I'm now walking in my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to come to church. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to give God all the glory. But at the same time, I have to live my purpose.
Right.
And you have to learn to say no. You have to learn to say no to your boyfriend sometimes and your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out tonight.
Right.
You got to work on that business plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't hang out with your friends and go in Aura or go in Bond and spend up all your money because you need that money to go to this seminar or to do this thing. You have to learn how to say no because at the same time, you may be, and this is another trip, for those who are like me walking in your destiny and purpose, sometimes you got to say no to them bookings because you could burn out yourself and end up in BMH and nobody wants to go to BMH.
Oh my, listen, I've been to PMH the other day. It did look nice.
No, I ain't saying that. I'm just saying you don't want to end up in there because the service is long. PMH is good now.
Yeah, look good now.
Shout out to Dr. Davil and all the ministers who helped bring that together. But the thing is, when you're sitting up in PMH for 3, 4, 5 days, you can't do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So you have to take care of your health. You can't allow yourself to be burned out. And you have to create good habits for yourself.
Right.
Sometimes we have bad habits that just need to go.
Well, see, I think, okay, what you're saying is you have to put yourself first. And I think that's something very hard for people to do because we have been trained, indoctrinated to give. You know, we've been, and you mentioned this, okay, you've been indoctrinated to go to church and to give to the church. We've been trained and indoctrinated as mothers to go give to our children, to give to the job, to give to everyone else besides ourselves. And then when we do that, we start to feel guilty and we start to feel bad. We do. We feel as though that we're being selfish and that we should not put ourselves first. We've been trained that we should do all these other things instead of taking care of the most important person in our lives.
Well, if you don't put yourself first, this is why I quote scripture now, because today is the Sabbath
and tomorrow
is the
day
of first fruit. the thing is, this is why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right.
So once you seek God first, then you could work on you.
Right.
Then any other extras that comes along, you could help them along the way, because do not allow people to guilt trip you off your purpose.
Right.
And this is something that I'm not speaking, just talking to you. I speak to myself because I did it. I allow people to guilt trip me. And that set me back years of where I needed to be because I felt so guilty. I felt like I had to be there for them. I felt like I owed them something. There's persons in relationships who know they're supposed to go off to school. Mm-hmm. Who know they should have leave the country or they know they should have take that job. But because they're in that relationship, I feel like I owe him because when I was down and out, he or she was there for me. They held me down. So when you get that job offer, you get that scholarship or you get that opportunity, you feel like you have to stay there for them or you have to stay there for mommy because mommy raised me and I did not know daddy. And she spent all this money and she sent me to college and she do all these things for me. So it's my job now. Anything I make now, I got to give back to mommy because I got to take care of mommy. And that's great because you know I as a daddy's a mommy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I won't do for them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, mommy and daddy didn't live their purpose. It's time for you to live your purpose.
No, say that last line again.
Mommy and daddy live their purpose. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to live your purpose. You have to separate. Come up high from among them and be separated.
Mm-hmm.
You already got your mentorship. You did what you needed to do. Don't let people guilt trip you. Don't let your mommy, especially those single moms are known for doing this. Don't let them guilt trip you. Don't let your daddy guilt trip you. When I needed to move from Grand Bahama to Nassau, my mommy told me to leave, but my daddy did not want to let me go.
Right.
He held on to me, and he held on to me so tight that even when I left, I went on the plane. My daddy called me on the plane. At plane line, he called me. I show up to my auntie house, he called me.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy would call me 4 to 6 times a day. Now he only has called me 2 times a day. So it cut down. I've been living in Nassau for 12 years now. So it cut down from 6 to 2, and that's growth. But some parents, they need to allow their children to go in. And it took 2 years for my daddy to say, you know what, I understand why you moved to Nassau. And I get it. Because my mommy came to me and say, she came to me, she's sneaking in the still of the night. Because my daddy says, I don't want you to go. You go to Nassau, cry, blah, blah, blah. And my mommy sneaked in the room to me and she said, Freeport is too small. Mm-hmm. I always thought that you supposed to be gone because I was supposed to go off to school. My daddy held me close again.
Right.
So I went to college in the Bahamas, you know, and she's like, this place is too small for you. You already mm-hmm. outgrow this place. You need to go. And my mommy helped me pack my bags and so, I left the next day.
Well, Heather, let me ask you this. What is it about you? Like, what is it? Like, what's that quality? What is that thing inside of you that allows you to do that? Because, like, there are some people who would stay in that position who wouldn't, they won't go, they won't move. What do you think, what is it about you?
Christ.
Okay.
My thing is, when you make Christ the center of your life, because I like to tell, I always tell people, I'm not that bright. I'm not that smart. If you'd have met me before I had Christ in my life, I was a wretched, mm-hmm. I was a wretched girl. I didn't make no sense. But because I have the Holy Spirit and the Bible says he sends you as a helper,
mm-hmm.
that's where wisdom kicks in. And then you have this, what to do. And the second thing is, I had amazing parents.
Okay.
God blessed me with two wonderful parents who was in leadership, in youth development, in philanthropy. And they really was not our friends.
So
what they were was, they were a guiding beacon for us.
So
they mentored us.
Are you saying that your parents had a blueprint that you could follow? That they, I mean, they would have already set the tone for where you should go or your interests and stuff?
I wouldn't say that necessarily, but what they did is they gave us opportunity. And that's your job as a parent. Your parent is just to give, put your child in the top class.
Right.
Put them in the marching band. Get them to the acting school because you don't know what that could come out of.
Right.
And I used to cry and I used to be like, Daddy, please don't sign me up for another thing. We used to wake up in the morning. My dad's a police, so he was very militant. And so it used to be like, surprise, you were part of this program. I never signed up for anything.
Okay.
My daddy and my mom just placed us in these programs because he said, idle hands is the devil's workshop. So, my mom always used to tell me, she said, you're in this program and you're learning this thing and you don't need it now. But yes, from now, you're going to need it. And it wasn't until I became an adult and I started doing motivational speaking and I started doing training, those things started to kick in.
So, okay, well, this is the last question. And, you know, so much more that I need to talk about. We really need to go on Facebook with this. Okay. What is the quality inside of you? And I know you said the Holy Spirit. Yes. But see, we have to make these things, we have to make it more realistic. Because, you know, sometimes when you ask someone, well, how you get God through it? And you say, oh, you get through it with God. Yeah, we know that. But I need step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I need this little thing here. So I want to know, what is it inside of you then that God would have placed? Because there's some things that, okay, the way created. And there's some things that God would have put in us, life, whoever you want to call it, put inside of us, right? And this one thing sometimes would be the thing that we would have gotten in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
But then that one thing actually is the superpower. So it may be that, let's say, Heather was this rebellious person, a rebellious child, or this talkative child, or whatever it is.
I indeed
and
was
so
talkative.
You smile, I would have never known that yet. But okay, but see, but God had a purpose for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these little things about who we are is what we need to get the job done. It's like, it's God's goodie bag for success. It's that thing that we didn't like most about us that actually... it's the most beautiful thing that God would have put in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want you all to understand that, because you'll be thinking that you all wrong, but you ain't all wrong. You all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. One last thing, Heather, before we segue into our other guests.
I'll answer your question
mm-hmm.
With my wrap-up. You just got to be hungry enough.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, as the day upon it for the water, so my soul longing after thee. If you ain't hungry... ain't nothing gonna happen.
Yeah.
You're gonna stay there and you're gonna be complacent and you're gonna be comfortable because you're getting fed.
Right.
Starve yourself. Starve yourself from certain things, and I promise you. And I'm not saying starve yourself to death. Please, for God's sake, I ain't saying that. What I'm saying is you have to want it bad enough. Like on the movie Any Given Sunday, that last scene when Al Pacino was talking to them, he said, listen, the difference between you and that championship football team out there is because they want it bad enough.
Right.
The difference between the winner and the loser is who wants it bad enough. That's simple and what you're willing to do.
Yeah.
So that only could come with hungry. You have to get thirsty. You have to always be in a position that you want to learn. You have to be open to being taught, to be teachable. Right. You have to be open for change, you know. And sometimes you have to be open to when things don't work out, rejection happens, but failure is not an option. Yeah, I was rejected. I was rejected millions of times. I lose count how much times I get rejected, but you know what? Might have been rejected, but I didn't fail.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Well, I want to thank you. You're going to stay with me, but I guess you're going to stay a little while, eh?
Yes.
All right. So we segue in, and let me tell you this now. So in studio, I'm going to behave. That's right. I'm behaving. So I have Miss Maycock with me as well as Miss Cash. And Miss Cash is... I'm not going to say who Miss Cash is. So I'm not going to say who Miss Cash is or what Miss Cash is to me. Just know that Miss Cash is very close to me. And as a matter of fact, you know, before you came in, we were talking about, Heather, you know, you said, we were talking about how people get up early and they have, because they have things to do. And that's usually a person who actually is going to be very successful. They're going to accomplish their stuff. Now, Miss Cash, first of all, Miss Cash is messaging me. See, 5 o'clock in the morning, there's another one. Because I was like, oh, no, she is not messaging me like this, like 5. I don't even know what is this woman on sleep. And then what was so funny? When I messaged her yesterday, this must be 6 o'clock. This was, I don't even know what time it was. She said she's sleeping. In my mind, I said she gotta be asleep because he's up all hours in a blast of night. I mean, morning. That's why you up. But anyway, so y'all have a big old event coming up. The Nixon family. Is it a family reunion? Introduce yourselves and tell us about what is it that you guys are planning.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us today, Ms. Davis. Thank you so much for having us on the show today. So I am here in studio today. My name is Siobhan Cash Hollis, to be exact, and I'm with Ms. Faith Maycock. I am the chair of a committee we have formed called Jeffert and Patient Nixon Descendants Committee, which we have planned a 3-day weekend family reunion scheduled in Nassau, Bahamas from January the 24th to the 26th of 2025. I'll turn it over to Faith real quick and then I'll come back on.
Okay, my name is Faith Maycock.
Go a little closer to the mic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm Faith Maycock. And I am the co-chair to our family reunion committee and also serving as the historian for our committee.
Okay, well, good stuff. Let's take us, take me back, because you know, by way of kind of, sort of, over the water, through the hill and the valley, I am related to y'all. Kind of, sort of, by way of the valley.
Okay.
All right, then. So take us back to the beginning, because you said that you are a historian. So who are these people that y'all are talking about, and which area of Exuma are we talking about? How did they settle? Where they came from? Take us back, because we don't know, and we don't even know that we ain't know.
Okay, well, we're talking about Jefford and Patient Taylor Nixon. Jefford is from Little Farmers Key, Exuma, in the chain of keys in that beautiful Exuma Island.
Right.
And my great-grandmother, Patient Jane Taylor Nixon, she was from Steventon, Exuma.
Okay.
And so they met and got married, and she migrated to Little Farmers Key, Exuma, which she made her home for many years until she demise.
Okay. All right. So what's the relationship between both of you? Are y'all related in it? Well, I assume you're related because you're on the committee. It's some kind of descendants. So how are y'all related?
Okay. We're cousins. Siobhan is my second cousin.
Okay.
My father is Siobhan's first cousin.
Okay.
By the way of her mother, Elizabeth Nixon Cash, who is the sister to my grandmother, Serlene Maycock.
Okay.
So we're cousins.
Okay. So what do y'all, like, why y'all doing this? Why y'all want to do this? Because, you know, some people, they ain't trying to see no family. why are y'all doing this?
Good
why?
Question. We're doing it because we believe that history is an important part of anybody's life that you would want to know from whence you came.
Right.
And so the dream really came from Siobhan, and she'll tell you about it a little later, why she was so interested in it. Because we were trying to get this together for about 2 years. And we want our family to know who they are, because Little Farmers Key is a very small key, as
it said.
How
many people live there?
I think they may have more than 50 persons left there.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
I thought she was going to say more than 200. She say more than 50. Now, Vague, hold on. How many people in Farmers Key?
Yes, it may be a little bit more than 50, but it is not more than 100 and plus.
Okay?
Because most of us have migrated to other islands in the Bahamas, and we've also gone extent overseas to the United States, to Canada, and wherever else.
Have you lived there before personally?
I was born there.
Okay.
And I lived there a small, you know, part of my life before growing up in Harbor Island.
Oh, that's from Bryland. That's not Cena. That's my family there.
So I know, I know Bryland people. I know your family.
Okay.
Yes. But Farmers Key is a very beautiful key. And the Nixon and Brown family owned Farmers Key.
Okay.
Okay, and this goes back to the 18th century, where they leased the land, and our ancestor, whose name was Quishaba, that was her African name, but we called her Krishana, and she had three children, Joseph being her first son, and then she had Adam and Eve Brown. And so the Brown family and the Nixon family, we make up the whole key.
Okay.
We are one family. The only thing is, Krishana, as we called her, she had twins for her African brother.
Okay.
But Joseph was for one of the loyalist descendants, who was also born in Exuma as well. And so we have this mix in our family. Some of us are very light, some of us are very dark, you know, because of the mix. Yeah, but Farmers Key is one people in that little key.
Mm-hmm.
We all are related. And we all are cousins, because Joseph had eight sons. One of his sons drowned. That son didn't have any children. But his other seven sons, they, you know, had the kids. And that's how Farmers Key migrated with all the people that belong there. And if all those people who belong to Farmers Key were to go back there, I think there would be no place for them.
Wow.
Because the key is small, and our descendants have grown.
Well, don't y'all have, like, we all have a homecoming or something that, is it in January or something?
No. February, the first Friday in February, there's a homecoming or a regatta that is held there. Yeah.
Okay, so Ms. Cash, Siobhan, have you, now I know some of your siblings, I know some of your siblings at one point would have lived there for a time period.
Yes, well, my sister, my elder sister, retired nurse Justina Bain, my mom's daughter. She grew up with my grandparents.
Okay.
I personally, we were born in Nassau, most of my siblings, but we grew up on Eleuthera, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Justina would have been, you know, back in the day where the grandparents, and still to this time frame, they would have taken the eldest grandchild or mostly the grandchildren, and they would have reared up with them.
Didn't some of your brothers, after the fire or something, they went there for a while?
Yes. So I found out, I think a few years ago, that when my father's, I think, home burnt down, when we were young, I was, I guess, the baby at that time, that three of my brothers, Harvey, Ezra, and Henderson, would have been sent off to their grandmother in Little Farmers Key to stay.
Okay.
They didn't really stay there too long. They didn't quite like that, I guess, that key lifestyle. But so they ended up back in Eleuthera. But just for a time period until my dad rebuilt his home, yes, three of my brothers would have lived and went to school in Little Farmers Key.
So So, okay, so why are you doing this? This is the first year, right?
This is the first. So let me just digress a bit. It came to me actually in a dream. Back during the pandemic, I think it may have been 2021, and Ms. Maycock here, Faye, my cousin, we would have been communicating during the pandemic. And I mentioned it to her, and I was like, all of the children of Jefford, me inclusive of my mother, who was the youngest or the last one done already. And I was like, it's important that we do a family reunion. We have never had one, especially from our family side in terms of our Nixon side of the family. And from our large family, our family is so big. I have some aunt that have like 11, 12, 13 children, and they have like hundreds of grand and great grand, so on and so forth.
And Siobhan, how many children did your mother have?
My mom had 9, 10 kids.
Okay.
Yes, that doesn't include some of the, you know, back in the day, some of the stillbirths or those,
right,
things, you know. Yes,
wow.
Miscarriages as well. So, but with my intermediate family, most of my siblings have like one or two, maybe three the most, but they didn't choose to extend those large families due to, obviously, you know, the cost of living, so on and so forth. So going back to the conversation, Faith and I would have spoken about it. We started to make a plan, and, you know, due to our lifestyle just being a bit busy, we didn't get to do anything. However, just recently, I think it was last year, Faith. I re-engaged a conversation last year, and then February we initiated. I was like, Faith, we gotta do this. We have to do it. So we came back at it. We discussed it. She agreed, and from February of this year, we started the conversation. We do have a small committee members. Some of our family members obviously formed. We formed a committee member.
So, Siobhan, mm-hmm. Now I know you a little bit, and I know you from the cash side.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a little extra. So I know you have all kind of events planned. What? Y'all do it big now. Y'all don't do nothing small. So what do y'all have? I know the time is this hour. Listen, Dwight. Dwight, I need more than an hour. I ain't say that no more. That's the last time. What do you guys have planned? Because I know you're a planner.
Sure. So, first of all, our team, we created a theme called Honoring Our Ancestors, Connecting Generation. So, that's basically to celebrate where we came from and obviously to connect us as the current and obviously the future generation. So we have a 3-day weekend event. Friday the 24th, 2025, we will be having a legacy banquet at Super Club Breezes, of which we are celebrating our legacy, and also we will be honoring a few of our family members for their outstanding and invaluable service in the Bahamas and throughout the globe. On Saturday is a family fun day. So at Goodman's Bay, we will have Jefford and patient descendants only. It's just for the family. This is more or less a day where we get to know each other. We have games, food, drinks, a little bit of music, competitive competition, all of that good stuff. And then Sunday, we wrap it up. Sunday the 26th, we will have a special family church service at my brother's church. Bishop Harvey Cash is the senior pastor of Lakeview Church of God in Bozeman Town. Now, the banquet is open to the public, so we encourage you, family and friends. It's $150. Tickets will be sold at our cousin Toya's Typing and Computer School, which is on Jerome and Roosevelt Avenue. So we encourage you, family and friends of the Nixon clan, the Taylor clan, to come out, support us Friday night, for the banquet.
So, I was just about to ask, what are some of the names? Like, what's some of the last names? I mean, you know, some people, like, what's some of the last names that's affiliated and associated with the Nixons? Everybody know the Nixons now. That's, yes. That one signed, sealed, and delivered. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the other last names mm-hmm. that may be related?
Okay, Jeffords' children, and he had nine of them.
Go a little closer.
Mm-hmm. And starting with the Maycock clan, my grandmother was the oldest child.
Okay.
And so you have the Maycock, then you have... Leonie Nixon Jones, you have Glover Wilson clan, and then you have Eugenia Nixon Basanti clan, mm-hmm. and you have Curlene Nixon Higgs clan, and you have one uncle who survived in the family, King Richardson Nixon clan, and then of course you have Elizabeth Nixon Cash clan.
Yes, and by the way, that's my daughter's grandmother.
You have to put that in.
That's right, yes.
So to wrap it up, obviously, Tanya, your descendant is from Harbor Island in particular. So two of my aunts were married to men from Harbor Island.
Right.
The Percentes.
Right.
And also the Higgs. Yes. And my mom was married to Cash from Lower Bogue.
Well,
so
you know, I was going to ask you, because I'm listening to y'all, and I know I really got to wrap this up, but I was listening to y'all, and I was going to ask, like, what is the Eleuthera-Exuma connection? Because I believe that my grandfather came from Exuma as well, because it ain't no bunch of Davis in Bryland. We like the only Davis there. So I know that he would have migrated from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, either Abaco or Exuma, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure.
Yeah.
But, okay, how can persons get in contact with you? Because Nixon, and they say, boy, I don't even know what are Nixons.
Yes.
It would be good if they attend this event. So how can they reach
out? Absolutely. Like we said, the banquet is open Friday night, and obviously the church service. So you can contact me at 636-0474. We also have an email. It's Nixon, all one word, lowercase, NixonFamilyReunion242@gmail.com.
Siobhan, give the telephone number again.
Toya.
I don't know.
Toya's typing. Mm-hmm. Yes. School. Now, everybody, now listen. Everybody know where Toya's is
exactly.
Now. We ain't got to play like we ain't know where Toya been on Jerome Avenue.
Yes.
From 19... I ain't gonna say it, but anyway, everybody know how to find Toya.
Yes,
so if
ma'am.
You cannot remember the number, you said
636-0474 is my cell number.
Right.
But Toya's typing would have the tickets, definitely. Yeah. Toya's typing on computer school.
Right.
Toya, we call her Anita Johnson, but Toya is actually my first cousin.
Okay.
So Latoya is Aunt Zerlene's daughter, and that's her aunt.
Okay,
so
wow, amazing.
Yes,
okay, good stuff.
Yes.
Okay, well, one last thing, guys. Remember, it's Tell It to Stanley, but we also have All I Want for Christmas Is Me, and Heather's going to be a facilitator. If you want more information, please contact me at 451-6767. That's 451-6767. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.